Okay, so in Parshas Chayi Sara, the Torah says, "Vayomer Hashem Elokei Adoni." Vayomer. This is when Eliezer, the Eved Avram, turns to Hashem with a tefillah to help him and guide him to find a wife for Yitzchak, and he says, "Hashem Elokei Adoni Avram, God, the God of my father, Hakrei No Lefanai Hayom." Set it up in such a way that today, even before the day ends, I'll be able to fulfill my shlichus. Asei chesed im Adoni Avram. Do it not for my sake, but a chesed for my master Avram. Hine anochi nitzav al ein amayim. Here's what Eliezer asks Hashem. I'm going to stand at the path where the water flows. Ubenos anshei yir yotzos lishof mayim. And the daughters of this city come out in order to draw water from this well. And vayah nara asher yomar eleha hatino kadech veshteh. If one girl amongst the girls will offer me the possibility of filling up my jar with water, and she'll say, "You drink the water, and also I'll give water for your camels," then osa hochachta. That's how I want you to underline these two words. Larry, do you want a text? I didn't know if you were coming here. No, just 1 second. Let me just gather it together here. Just 1 second. Here, I'll give you the first page. This is the second page. Okay, and here's the first page. Okay. You have it? Okay, great. So he says the following. He says, Osa hochachta. And again, if you have a pen, because these are the two key words here, underline those words, Osa hochachta. Hochachta means you have proven, you have demonstrated, li'avdecha, that Osa, that lady, that girl, is the one that is meant for avdecha, for your servant, li'yitzchak. Uba Eda, and as a result of this experiment, where she comes forward and she feeds me and my camels, then Eda, I will know that she's the one. V'asisa chesed im Adoni, and then you've done chesed with my master, meaning with Yitzchak. So we want to study now is first of all Rashi's interpretation of Osa HaChachta, and then the Chassam Sofer. Rashi says, Osa hochachta, ra'uya hi shetehe gomelis chasod. Rashi is saying that, how will Eliezer understand from this episode that she's the one that is designated for Yitzchak, she's the right choice for Yitzchak? It's because she's a gomelis chasod. She cares not only for the stranger, but also for his camels. Oh. Says the Chassam Sofer, I want to embellish this. The Pasuk says at the beginning of the Torah, with the creation of a woman, it says, Eselo Ezer Kenegdo. Now the Chassam Sofer makes a big point about the word Kenegdo. Ezer means a helpmate, and hopefully this woman is going to help the man, but she's also at the same time, paradoxically, Kenegdo. She'ima isha misnagedes betiva, letivo shel habal. In other words, it's not that they're going to have political arguments, he and she's going to oppose his view in politics. Well, he has his favorite sports team, and she has a different favorite sports team. But rather, it's all about teva. It's all about the makeup of a person, the personality, the psyche of a person, the inclinations of a person, the attributes of a person. That's called the teva. Teva is the sum total of what a personality is made of. And there are different types of personalities. Some personalities are more strict, and some personalities are more giving. And the main thing is that she should be kenegdo. That whatever his teva is, she has an antithetical teva. And somehow, in this union between husband and wife, male and female, because of this tension, something great is going to come out of it. But on the contrary, in the flip side, kilo tov im shneim, if both of them have the same personality traits, for example, let's say both of them are vatranim, Vacherim are those who fagin, you know, they give in. They're very magnanimous. Or pazranim, there are those who are very scattered, you know, they're not organized. They're not focused. If you have two people, he and she, who are both fitting into that same category, they both reflect the same midos, that's not a good thing. There's got to be some sort of a collision here, a conflict, a tug of war, a tension. That tension is called kenegdo in the Torah's language. Now let's apply, says the Sam Sofer, to this situation in which Eliezer is asking Hashem to reveal and give him a sign, this is the woman for Yitzchak. Hine, Avram, Shohei v'midas ha-chesed, in the marriage between Avram and his wife Sarah, Avram personifies chesed. Sarah is a ne'at Sarah bi'orchim. She's the one who pulls back on chesed. You follow what I'm saying? She's limited. That's called a ne'at Sarah bi'orchim. I gave a whole drush about this on Shabbos, but I'm not going to go over it now. Yitzchak is midas hadin. Yitzchak represents harsh judgment. Pachad Yitzchak, the fear of Yitzchak, is who's going to be his wife, is a kenegdo. Kenegdo means she's exemplary, she's a personification of the midas chesed and gemilas chasodim tovim. And therefore, Eliezer says, show me, reveal to me, a woman whose essence is Gemilas Chasodim, she will be the counterpart for Yitzchak, because she will be the Kenegdo. Too much chesed is no good, too much din or strict justice is no good. We need, I guess you'd call it, if you're familiar with the term, a dialectic. Dialectic means thesis and antithesis. You know, it's the tension.
Can I just ask? Usually it's din and rachamim, and here he's mentioned chesed in both cases, but they're two different examples.
The opposite of din is chesed.
No, but din is chesed or rachamim?
I would say chesed. Chesed means hispashtus, meaning din is tzimtzum, where you move into yourself. That's what Yitzchak represents. Yitzchak is always in his four cubits. He's not mispashet, he's mitztamtzem. And that's called din. The opposite of din is going out, is chesed. Chesed is a person who personifies giving. He's out there in the field.
In the case of Avram and Sarah, it's a different relationship.
We're not sure exactly what he means when he says that Sarah is the opposite of Avram. He quotes the Chazal that says, Eineu et Sarah bi'orchim. If it was up to me, I didn't write the Chassam Sofer, he doesn't need my accolades, but I would have said that Sarah personifies Din in the episode of Yishmael. You remember that she sends Hagar out, Yishmael's mitzachek. She doesn't want to tolerate Yishmael's presence. She's afraid he might have an impact on Yitzchak. There's too much at stake here from her perspective. And Avram Avinu is flabbergasted. He can't begin to understand why would we want to throw out Yishmael? That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes. But if you would ask me, where do I find the nigud, you know, the conflict between Avram and Sarah, each representing or personifying two different opposite midos, I would have said it's in the episode of Yishmael. The Chassam Sofer says it's in the episode of the Orchim. Now, where do we find this? So the Gemara says about Metzia that Avram Avinu recommended solus, which is refined bread. And Sarah Yimenu wanted kemach. Kemach is unrefined bread, like what we call bran or something, you know, whole wheat or one of those kinds of things, where it's not refined. So Chazal say that Sarah is Sarah Einel V'Orch. Like she didn't want to be so magnanimous with the guests. But the truth is, I don't believe for one moment that's what Chazal had in mind, that she wasn't magnanimous with. I mean, she was totally given to the guests and to the Archim, and she made a splendid meal. So I think Einei Tzor B'Archim means something totally different. That was my drush on Shabbos.
Is there another payoshim I have to say from Bantor to Mima? who says that really, because he says kisha inera tzara ba'ochim, not tzara, kisha inera inera. So being a dogma of tzara, then reality claims that kemach is more refined than solid. So he comes to say, in reality, why is the tzara pointed out? Because tzara was exceptional as opposed to other women, okay? The Sarah wanted to give a better
break. Quality.
And why does the Torah mention this? Because Isha in Sarah Belochim. Generally speaking,
but Sarah is the exception.
The exception. That's why it's mentioned.
Okay, that's interesting. So again, what we're seeing here in the Chasam Sofer is a Gevaldige Yisod. It's something that's very fundamental. I mean, you don't have to accept it, but it's definitely a revolution of sorts that. Who makes the best marriage partner and the best shidduch? It's not marry the clone. You know, some people say, well, is she similar to me? You know, I'm going to write a whole list of things and I want her to be very similar to me. Comes along with himself with another perspective entirely. That if she's too similar to you, that's not a good idea. The best shidduch is going to be when she compliments you by fighting against you. That's what I call thesis and antithesis, that collision. You know, it's like a tug of war. And that's called Ezer Kenegdo. What Eliezer was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that you're going to prove, you're going to demonstrate to me that this girl is the right choice because her midah is Gmilas Chasadim, and that's what we need as the anti-force to Yitzchak, who's Pachad Yitzchak, who's an introvert, who lives in his Dalet Amos. He's not the Gomel Chasadim, he's the Midas Adim. That's the Chasam Sofer. So to summarize the Chasam Sofer's interpretation of Ezer Kenegdo, it's Shnei Hafachim, two opposites that have a Nigud, and those get together. Now, this idea of the Chasam Sofer actually predates the Chasam Sofer by a long time in a sefer called Yad Yosef. Of Rav Yosef Tzarfati. I'm not exactly sure when he lived. I think about 3 centuries ago. And on the pasuk Vayomer Hashem Elokim Lo Tov Hayos Adam Adam Levado Eselo Ezer Kenegdo, he wants to understand the reason of the mitzvos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave in general man freedom of choice, with one exception. So in all mitzvahs, it's up to me to start the mitzvah, follow through, and complete the mitzvah. And that's called Re'ein Asati Lufanecha Yom, Esachayim Vesatov, etc., etc. Bacharta Bacharta. So man is given freedom of choice. But there's one exception. Says the Ad Yosef, the exception is Zivuk, is finding a marriage partner. Now you and I might think that, you know, if we dated and so on, that we were the ones who discovered the marriage partner, right? I chose my wife. Chazal have a different hashkofa. The Gemara in Sota says, Arboim yom kodim yitzius avlad bas kol yotzeis v'yomeres bas ploni l'ploni. It's already been predetermined by Hashem, and that's the bas kol. And the Gemara says, Moin Katan, he doesn't mention it here, Me Hashem ish le'isha. That a man finds a woman because Me Hashem, it comes from God. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah says that one of the non-Jewish wife of an officer, I guess a matrona, asked Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu spent 6 days creating the world, what did he do after that? Was he twiddling his thumbs? What did Almighty God do to occupy himself? Amar Allah. So Rabbi Yossi responded, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Umezaveg Zivugim. What he's doing on a regular basis is he's getting together a man with a woman as a marriage partner. Bito Shalploni Luploni, Ishto Shalploni Luploni. By the way, Ishto Shalploni Luploni is a second marriage. Even in a second marriage, according to this version of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta, Hashem is involved in getting the zivug. In fact, the Gemara seems to assume that the second marriage is lefi zchusa. Anyway, So now the Yad Yosef wants to ask the following question. Why is it that in every choice that a person makes, as far as mitzvahs are concerned, Hashem says, Ubacharta, you make the choice. But in one specific limited area, God says, I'm going to make the decision. You may think you're making the decision, it might look to you and appear to you that, but I sent this woman to you. Why? Why do we need God's intervention to set up this mitzvah of marriage? Says the Yad Yosef that you have to set down the parameters of the fundamentals, so to speak, of marriage. What is the ingredient that makes a successful marriage? And the answer is that a successful marriage is made up of two elements which are mutually exclusive. That's the paradox of a good marriage. Number one, dimyon. On the one hand, there has to be a certain commonality between him and her. But number two, nigud. It's got to be at the same time a conflict. Mitzad echad, he says, such you shove him. In order for them to have friendship and love, shalom v'reus, ava v'achva, they need a common mezek. This has to be a very common link that they sense. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard this. I heard that people say that he looks like her or she looks like him. Not necessarily when they got married, but the passive time. Have you ever heard such a thing?
I see it sometimes.
I see it also. People think I'm crazy when I make this comment. They grow to look like each other. So this is the commonality. But they also fight with each other. When I say fight, I don't mean in the negative sense, but I mean to say that she has a different perspective, a different sense of priority than he does. That's mitzad sheni tzokshiyu menugadim b'mezek tivam kidei sheyuchal laholi. Now, what is this Kadesh Yuchal Laholit? So this I can't, maybe you can help me with this, I can't help too much. It seems that back in the day, in the science of yesteryear, the philosophy was that in order to produce children, you need a nigud. Right? It's like two members of the same gender cannot have a child. Right? Two women cannot produce a child. Two men cannot produce a child. But he goes even further. He says that even a male and a female, if they're too similar and there's no difference between them, they cannot have children. Now, I don't know that there's any biological basis for such a thing. This is all psychological and spiritual. Kedesha tis'aver isha. For a woman to get pregnant, you need two elements, a poel and a mispoel. A poel is an active agent that has an impact on a mispoel, that's the passive agent. V'ein ha-mispoel yochol l'spoel me'adom lo. In order to have an impact on something and make a change, in this case impregnation, conception, it has to come through a nigud, because if they're both the same, then the mispoil is not mispoil, meaning the person is not impressed, or what word am I looking for? There's no change that's being engendered. In order to engender change, you need a distinction. If they're both the same and they're identical. So that's what he's saying. Kedesha tisaber yishitzar poil v'nispoil. V'eidam ispoil yochol ispoil me'adom alo. If they're too similar, ki'im mima shahafach mimena. He gives an example. If you want to heat up water, you need fire. Fire is the exact opposite of water. So you want to make an impact on water, you're not going to gain anything by adding more water. You're only going to gain anything if you turn on the flame below the water. So basically, we're talking about something called a nigud. We saw in the Tzam Sofer, now we see in the Yad Yosef before the Tzam Sofer. For example, Chazal speak in the intellectual realm of Chachma that had a chavrusas create new ideas in Torah, the deeper insights in the creation of Torah in chavrusa learning is a result of conflicting views. Reuven says X and Shimon says Y and they fight it out. And Reuven tries to bring proofs to his position, Shimon to his. And as a result of this dialectic of thesis and antithesis, what comes out is a Chiddush Torah, a new way of understanding the Torah on a deeper level. Now, I'm not a chemist, but I think the same thing works in chemistry. like when you make salt, you combine what's called chlorine and sodium. And I think chlorine and sodium are both toxic substances in and of themselves. But somehow the combination of these two theses and antitheses create salt.
How do you get divorced? First of all, the situation of two likes is not going to happen because Kadosh Baruch Hu decides they're not going to be the same. So that situation never occurs.
What doesn't occur?
That there should be two people should be dominant, two similar characters, because Hashem decides as he walks and he makes sure that it's always opposites.
There's a dimion.
And the dimion
and the nigud. It has to be both.
But Hashem decides there's no bechira here. So anyway, a person's going to get married to somebody who's going to
have these two paradoxical elements, so dimion and nigud.
So why the divorce?
Divorce is because instead of the nigud to work together for the same goal, meaning I want to oppose you because I think you have to be opposed. Your midas hadin is too extreme and you have to admix it with midas. It becomes a selfish kind of thing. I'm right and you're wrong. It's not that we're working as a team together. Even in chavrusa learning you could have a problem. If both are working towards the same goal, admittedly with two different perspectives on the same principle, the same sugya, then you could be mechadish great chidushim. And that's the glory of chavrusa learning, which I think, by the way, from my experience in university, because I spent years in college and in graduate school, I don't think they have this concept of chavrusa learning. There are seminars with smaller groups, but it's not like the backbone of the yeshiva learning, which is all predicated on chavrusa. Now, if at one point each chavrusa becomes full of himself, or even if one of the two, and he says, well, I'm right and you're wrong, and at that point his whole focus is self-centered, then the whole endeavor falls apart, the whole enterprise goes down the tubes. As long as we're working together, and I know I oppose you, but I know you have an element of truth, but I want to enter, you know, put into the equation, Maya, then we can work together, then there's a great union. Then you have salt, or you have oxygen and hydrogen, you have water, whatever it is. But if, on the other hand, we become enemies because all I'm interested in is I'm right and you're wrong. Even at meetings, for example, you know, you talk about committees, you know, in anything, a shul committee, right? So if the shul committee has different opinions, that's great. And each one is going to express their opinion and somehow they'll come up with a compromise and they'll work it all out. They'll flesh it all out. But unfortunately, what happens is at some point, either one member of the committee or more than one member is only interested in I'm right and you're wrong. It has to be my way or the highway. That's what causes divorce.
I'm sorry, but I'm aware of people who got married to the who broke up straight away.
Who what? Say again?
They got married and they got divorced within a month when it was clear that there was a problem that they shouldn't have got married in the first place. How does this fit in with
mental
illness?
It's a first marriage or a second marriage?
First marriage. Issues of mental illness that weren't apparent at the beginning.
Right. Look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu challenges a person. I'm not saying that, you know, every marriage is ideal. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his Hashgacha Pratis, he enters into the equation here and he wants to challenge you with a difficult situation. But the ideal marriage is going to be this very special balance or blend between what he calls dimyon and nigut. So socially and psychologically their personalities mesh and they can get together. But on the other hand, in a certain philosophical sense, in terms of priorities and the nuances of understanding and so on, there's a nigut here. There's a conflict. So according to the Yad Yosef, who can actually put these two people together? How is it possible for you to go out there and find a woman who's similar to you and yet is antithetical to you at the same time? It's only HaKadosh Baruch. That's what he says in the paragraph that starts Vehine. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'atzmo koveh zivugo shel adam. It cannot be given to the freedom of man. Why? Ki tzarech limto isha. She's got a teva umezik that's shava, it's equal to that of the man, so they can live in peace and harmony. There's got to be a conflict between the two of them. Nigud kazeh I efshar li adam limtzo biatzmo. How's a person going to find a woman who at the same time is similar, at the same time different? Now, the truth be told, in my humble opinion, there are men and women as well. I'm just talking to us because we're men, but there are men who have this deeper perception. They sense a certain, that they sense that they're comfortable with this woman. They have a tremendous amount in common, both background and personality and what they like and so forth and so on. They respect the same thing. But he feels about her that she has this sharp, you know, difference of opinion, the differing of opinion from him. And he appreciates that because he realizes he needs that to complement his personality. He sees things in a very one-sided way. Says the Ad Yosef, let's reread the pasuk, and now we have another insight into the pasuk. Vayomer Hashem Elokim lo tov heyos ha'odom levado. Hashem says levado means if man is left to his own druthers and he has to find a woman, a partner on his own, that's lo tov, that's good. And the next part of the pasuk is esa lo ezer kenedo. God says I have to step into the equation because man can't find this perfect blend in a bas zivug if he's left to his own choice. But esa lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says if I'm going to enter stage now, ezer kenedo, I'll be able to find someone, a woman who's both an ezer in the sense that she supports his personality, but she's also kinegna. Whole loop shot in the pasuk. So the first part of the pasuk is this, is a statement that if man is left to his own to find a woman, it's not good. And the second part of that same verse is that God says, if I get involved, I'm going to find for him a woman who's both an ezer and a kinegna. So when you mentioned before, I'm sorry, I forgot your first name. You told me Menachem. I don't know how I forgot that. So when you mentioned before that, you know, that the Shvili Pinchas is just sometimes, you know, letters and words. No. I take it very seriously. Well, again, I'm just going to tell you the way I take this. Again, you don't have to be inspired the way I am, but I'm inspired here because to me, there's a whole wealth of philosophies and philosophy, I don't mean in the philosophical sense of abstract, but of a life philosophy written in this pasuk, which I never saw in my life. So I can read this pasuk for a million years over and over again and not see the point of this pasuk. The resh of the pasuk of lo tov and levado and the seif of the pasuk with the ezer and the kenegdo and the eser that God steps into the picture. I know, to me this is very, very meaningful. The Samsofer writes that this is what Eliezer says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Osa hochachta li avdecha li Yitzchak. What does it mean, hochachta? You, God, are going to demonstrate to me, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that this woman has exactly what it takes to be the partner of Yitzchak. How? Because what Rivka is going to do is, she's going to sweeten the very bitter or harsh taste of din. Yitzchak represents din. What Yitzchak now needs is a midas hachesed of kenegdo, which is mamtik. Mamtik means to sweeten. When you have something that's too sour, you have to add a sweetener to it. And this idea really finds its source way back when into the Zohar HaKadosh, because the Zohar HaKadosh says about Yitzchak that he reflects, he personifies Dina Kashya, very tough, harsh din.
When we see that in Yitzchak?
I guess it means that Yitzchak's din brings him into a world of his own. He withdraws. We don't know much about Yitzchak. There are virtually no stories about Yitzchak. I mean, even what Yitzchak does in the Torah is just sort of like an imitation of what he got from his father. He read things the wells of his father. And then when he gets to giving the blessings, you know, he's in a different world. He's blind. He never leaves the four Amos of Eretz Yisrael. He's not your Gulliver's Travels kind of exciting guy. You know what I'm saying? That's an extreme. I don't know if you know much about the Kutzker Rebbe. They say that the Kutzker Rebbe, he was like, he lived in his own four cubits. He was a Yitzchak personality. They say about the Vilna Gaon, for example, they had five students. Who can believe it? There's probably, I don't know how many people in Jewish history, in terms of learning in Torah, that you could put in the category of the impact of the Vilna Gaon. I mean, just today I gave a shiur on Ner Chanukah. The whole shiur was built on the Vilna Gaon. The whole shiur, about what exactly Ner Chanukah is. When you're supposed to light, and how much oil you have. The whole, all based on the Gaon. Wherever you turn, you see Chiddush of the Gaon. He had five students. He was very withdrawn. If you wanted to learn from the Gaon, you came into his Dalet Amos. He wasn't going to go out there looking for you. Rivka, on the other hand, is Chesed. And now, Rivka has exactly the quality that Yitzchak needs to complement his personality. What quality is that? That's to be Mamtikas Adid, to create this brand new entity which combines and integrates both Din and Chesed. And who's going to be the successful child from that marriage? The successful child is going to be a dropout child. And that's going to be Yaakov Avinu. Because Yaakov Avinu is going to represent this creation that's a result of the two opposites that... You know the phrase opposites attract. So in this context, we would use the phrase opposites attract. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you know, after the 6 days of creation, what's he busy with? He's busy with being Mezavig Zivugin. This is a pretty tough call. Calling, you know, to be Mezavig Zivugin. To find a person, on the one hand, who's Takif, who's very... very dedicated to law and justice and strict din without any deviation. And then you have a person who's rougher, who's more soft and pliable and flexible.
What's a kagavne? What does it mean, kagavne?
Which word?
Kagavne.
I don't see it.
First line, you say I'm a kagavne.
Oh, kagavne law, like in this mold, so to speak, in this scenario. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mezavig Zivugim, Chad Tokif and Chad Rafia. One is tough and one is soft. Kach Darko Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zavig Shnei Afochim. Now let's see if we can find this beautiful idea that some sofer regarding Yitzchak and Rivka in the words of the Tiferes Shlomo. He's one of the great Hasidic lights. And he says that why was it so critical to Eliezer that Rivka be chosen as a Gemolas Chasod because of a Chesed? And the answer is, and this is the last few lines, few words, excuse me, on Aleph, and we're going to go over to Beis. Kidei shetamtik b'midas haChesed shebo, with her midas haChesed, she will sweeten the midas haDin of Yitzchak. And where are we going to see this happening? Where are we going to see this great nigun? In Taka, the parasha that I mentioned just earlier, of the brachos that Yitzchak is meant to bestow in his mind upon Esav, but Rivka insists that's Yaakov. Says the Tiferet Shlomo, what was Yitzchak thinking? What was his kavanah? Why did he want to bestow these blessings on Esav? And the answer is, according to the Tiferet Shlomo, that these blessings for Yitzchak would be very dangerous, so to speak. Would be a great challenge to Yitzchak. That these blessings would be a great challenge to Yaakov. Why? Because Yaakov is the Ish Tam Yoshev Ohol. Yaakov is the individual who lives in a world of spirituality. Totally focused on Chochmas HaTorah. 14 years, he doesn't even sleep in the house of Shem V'Eva. This is what the Peleoids would call having Golil HaMakom Torah. That's Yaakov. And now, the blessings are all about physicality. Right? All the material goods. Therefore, Yitzchak was afraid to bestow these blessings on Yaakov, because as the Pasuk says at the end of the Chumash, it says, Vayishman Yeshur Vayivat, that sometimes you give a person too many pleasures and he becomes a pleasure seeker, he becomes absolutely addicted to pleasure. And that's going to distract him and uproot him from the Torah learning. Rivka understood, with her insight, that Gam Tovas Olam Hazeh, even good things in this world, the material world, will help a person to serve Hashem. So Yitzchak, on the one hand, lives in this world of withdrawal, as I would call it, from this universe, where physicality is a challenge to spirituality and should be pushed aside, and therefore he's inhibited to bestow these physical material blessings on Yaakov Avinu. He thinks that it'll shter Yaakov Avinu and uproot him. Rivka says, on the contrary, what's our attitude towards this world? We want to go out there and we want to be what's called Harchavas Hadas. I never knew how to translate Harchavas Hadas. It literally means widening your horizons, but really what it means is to have a certain sense of security and quiet and a tranquil, kind of enjoyable, comfortable existence, so that now in that environment you're not physically anguished or persecuted and limited. You can focus on your service to Hashem in all its facets. So, in other words, whereas Yitzchak sees physicality and materiality as antithetical to Torah, Rivka understands that it's a messiah to Torah and to Avodas Hashem, because it generates Harchavas Hadas. And that's why in our parashin, Chayisara, you don't have base?
No.
I'm sorry. Here. You okay? You can take that one. So here, what are we saying here? We're saying that in Parashas Chayisara, V'hoya Narasha Omer Leha Tino Kadech Oso Chachto Liavtecho Yitzchak, it means this Hisnagdus to the Midah of Yitzchak, which is Pachad, is going to be the greatest Hochacha. Remember I told you to underline when we started that word Osa Hochachto, that she's the one who's fit to be the marriage partner for Yitzchak. And he quotes the Sar Sholomi Bells, who also has a very similar idea on the Pasuk. Okay, this is a little bit more Kabbalistic, like Menachem, what you were referring to before, a little bit more with Osios and all that stuff. Because it says, Vatika Vatisa Rivka Seineha, Rivka takes a look, and Vateres Yitzchak, she sees Yitzchak in the distance. Vatipo me'al agamol, she falls off the camel, and she declares, speaking in this case to Eliezer, mi'aish al azeh ha'olech besadol krasim, as if to say she didn't recognize him.
Well, she never met him.
She never met him, but the truth is, according to the Sar Sholem Bells, she knew it was him. And there's a deeper meaning here in this whole exchange, this whole episode. Mi ha'ish al-azeh ha'olech b'sodol ikrasei v'yomer ha'evin hu adoni, is my master, meaning it's Yitzchak, v'tika ha'tze'if v'tizkas, she takes the shawl and she covers herself. So the Belzer Rebbe is confused about this. He says the whole story is out of kilter. He's a woman sees a man and she asks about him, and he's going in the southern, she wants to know who he is. He says, no, all that's going on here below the surface in this interchange, in this episode, is about midos. It's all about midos. She's looking at Yitzchak and she becomes aware, she's almost overwhelmed by what she perceives in Yitzchak as the midah of gvura, what we call Pachad Yitzchak. And one second, he adds another piece to the puzzle here. He says, you know, Yitzchak is a relatively mature man at this point. According to Chazal, he's 37 years old. Did I get that right?
No, he was 40 when he got married.
Oh, he's 40. I'm sorry. He's 37 at the time of the Akedah.
Yeah, according to one view.
Right. So imagine he's 40.
The says clearly he was 40 when he got married.
Right. And she is 3 years old, according to Chazal. So what happens? Yitzchak has to wait for Rivka to be born. He's an alter buck, as we'd say. He's not married. And why? Because Rivka is the one who has this midah, that nigud that Yitzchak desperately needs to be mamtik midas hachesed. That's what the Belzer Rebbe said. So Yitzchak is sort of like an extreme, exaggerated midas hagvura. He needs the counterbalance of midas hachesed. And Eliezer says, if that's what Yitzchak is waiting for, he's 40 years old, then apparently this woman is going to have to show us and demonstrate her midah of chesed to make sure that we know for sure that she's the one who's fit for Yitzchak to be mamtik his midas agvura and pacha. Now what does she perceive? Vatipol me'al hagamal. Why does she fall off the camel? Again, in this interpretation, it means she immediately understood that this was a man who personified a very extreme kind of pachad. And out of a sense of being overwhelmed by the aura or the proximity to his pachad, she falls off the camel. And at this point, she asks a question, which is a very penetrating question. It could be that even if she has a midah of chesed, his midah of gvura is so intense and so overwhelming that hers will be batel mevutol. She won't be able to have any impact in to integrate and I'm looking for a word which I'm not finding there to soften his midah sagvura. So she asks, mi ha'isha lazu ha'holech basada likrasenu. In other words, I'm looking at a man, he has such a tremendous midas hagvura, and he's holding likrasenu, he's coming against us. Likrasenu means he's battling against us, he's confronting us, because he has zero tolerance for the midah of chesed. Vayomer ha'eved, and Eliezer in his wisdom, he responds, Hu Adoni. Hu Adoni means that you should know that he's the Adon, he represents the personification, the master, he's the master of Gvura. And he chose, Yitzchak chose, this is the way he wants to serve Hashem. At this point, the situation looks very great because she's overwhelmed by his Gvura, and in essence, Eliezer is confirming that this is the master of Gvura. He has got a big gimel on his sweatshirt. And he's the Adon that has broken new ground in the Midas HaGvura. That's where he has made his contribution, and he's totally dedicated to serve Hashem with the Midas HaGvura. So where's the room for Rivka? Oh. Vatika chatzaif fatiskas. And here's Menachem where we get into that part of the Shvilei Pinchas that gets into the letters and everything else. So he says that the word Hatzeif should be substituted by the word Rina because they both have the same both have the same right Gimash. What is the midah of Rina here? Rina is what we call Hishtapchus HaNefesh, meaning, for example, in Eicha it says Shifki Kamayim Libech, or Kumi Roni Balayla Shifki Kamayim Libech. Rina is when you pour out your soul. Rina also means a song, but it's a song that comes later, after after you feel relieved because you've communed with God with an intense supplication. For example, Chazal say in the Gemara in Sukkah that the code word for tefillah is the word atar, ayin tof resh. because it says Vayater Yitzchak Lashem. That's going to be the beginning of next week's parasha. Parasha's told us. And Vayater means a supplication to God, but the word Vayater comes from the Shorish Ayin Tof Resh, which is a rake. And Laman Imshol, the Gemara in Sukkah, Tfiloson Shel Tzadikim Ka'atar. What's the similarity between the tefillah of the tzaddik and a rake, which is a utensil that you use out in the field? If you want to move, you know, the straw or the whatever it is you're moving from one place to the other, you dig in with a, maybe it's not called a rake. What is that thing that has
pitchfork?
Oh, a pitchfork. Okay. You want to look up the word atar for me? Maybe if you don't mind. He says, "Mahapech satfu begorim imokam lemokam." So you turn over the tefuah and you move it from one place to the other. Tfilosin shel tzadikim also has that same power symbolically. Mafeches daito shel kodesh baruch mivides achzorius levides rachmanis. So it turns upside down the desire of Hashem to be cruel and to institute justice, and converts it into rachmanis. Now, add another element into the equation. What's vatika chatzeif atiskas? It's not only to turn one midah from this extreme to the other extreme, like we saw in the case of tefilosin shel tzadikim, where the Gemara in Sukkah says that it's mahafeches. It converts the midah of achzorius into midah rachmanis. And again, all this is what Rivka is trying to achieve over here, because she perceives in Yitzchak an extreme gvura. And she has to somehow convert that gvura into chesed. So here he says that the word se'if also refers to a tefillah. What's the connection between se'if and tefillah, other than the gematria is rina? The answer is that a se'if is a short form of the following sentence: Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Parnosa. And that is the sentence that we recite at a moment of urgency, what's called a tefillah ktsar. Are you familiar with that? Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Parnosa. We need, like it's a drought, we need water to come down from the heavens immediately. It's urgent. And what this means is that the people of Israel, Rivka says, are overwhelmed with the meat of din. There's a drought, and they need parnasa. Jews are literally starving in the streets. Vatiskas. What is vatiskas? That's a reference to tshuva. Not really to tshuva so much, because we haven't done tshuva, so we're being punished for our sins. But vatiskas means, God, cover up our sins. Meaning, don't focus on our sins as if they were concealed. Again, nothing is concealed in front of God. But vatiskas means, please somehow cover over our sins. And God in His Rachmanis is going to cover over our sins. So again, you have a collision here between din, in which God is meeting out punishment to Israel, and the tse'if, which represents the prayer to God of Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Parnasa. You have to have Rachmanis on us. And how is God going to have Rachmanis on us when our sins are outstanding and we deserve punishment? The answer is Vatiskas. Vatiskas means Loshen Kisui, that Almighty God in His Chesed and His love for the Jewish people will cover over our sins so they're not exposed. Now, from this point and on, we don't have too much time, but at least I'll give you the gist of it. This is what I call Hakafa Beis. The bulk, or I should say the balance of this essay, is about a challenging marriage. Meaning, when the wife that you marry is so different than you, she's so much of a nigud, that she seems to be undermining you. And believe it or not, in the time of the Gemara, there was such a paradigmic marriage. And that was the marriage of Reb Chiya. And the Gemara tells us in Yevamos that Reb Chiya's wife was constantly causing him anguish. Mitzaeres oso tamid. So what does Reb Chiya do with this situation? You and I would say, why not divorce your wife? But that wasn't an option for Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya realized that this wife, as much as she torments him, was sent to him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is the Nisayon, this is the challenge, he's got to make the best of it. So what does he do? Anytime he finds a beautiful object that's for sale, he would purchase it, he would tie it up, the Gemara goes into great detail, tie it up in his kerchief, and he would bring it to her as a matana. So Rav, who's the nephew of Rav Chiya, turns to his uncle and he says to him, "Tsarele Lamar, why are you buying her gifts?" So you and I might have answered, "Well, he's hoping that she'll change her attitude, right?" But that's not Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya answers that I have such a gratitude, a sense of gratitude for this woman. Why? Shevagadelas es banenu, she's raising our children. Umatzelas osonu menachet. Rashi says from Hira Avera. Because we have a wife, so we're not thinking about another woman. And it means that Rabbi Chiya is teaching us something about a marriage. And what's crucial to a marriage is to always focus on the good points and to have a sense of hakaras hatov and gratitude, even if the entire situation looks very dim and dismal, and it seems like this woman is creating such a tsar, and yet to recognize what she does for you, what she accomplishes for you. He says, Afilu, this is on the bottom of the middle category of Mishu Heralanu, somebody does us evil, but at the same time hated Lanu, but he did something good for us. Hachova Mutelas Aleinu, we have to focus on the good point of Hakaras HaTov and to express that Hakaras HaTov. So therefore, when the wife of Rabbi Chiya caused them so much suffering, he would buy her gifts at every opportune moment. Why? Because he wanted to express his Hakaras HaTov, because she grows, she raises the children, and she spares him from sin. And this is the thesis of the as I said, the balance of this article, that a person has to overcome his natural tendency to see the negative and to lash out against someone who's causing him pain, and rather try to find the positive and express Hakaras HaTov and do good things. And he goes on to quote the Arizal, which is on page 3, who says that the reason man was created is to break his midos. Notice, you're born with a certain teva, with a certain midah, but that midah in and of itself, although it has potential for good, it also has a potential for evil. Man is a complex hybrid being. He's got two parts to his nefesh. He has what's called the nefesh hamaskeles, which is the neshama, and he also has the nefesh hashfela, otherwise known as the nefesh habahamis. And there's a constant conflict between two parts of man. And what man is called upon is, in his avoda, that's his main challenge, is to overcome the nefesh hashfela and have the dominance of the nefesh ha-sichlis of his neshama. And in the middle of page 3, the middle column, you'll see a paragraph that starts Lefi Zeh. He quotes the Arizal, he quotes Reb Chaim Vital, the name of the Arizal, that the whole purpose of life and the whole thrust, the challenge of man to live in this world is just this, to find the good and to realize that he's got to work on his midos. He has midos rows that are in his nefesh fela, they come from this lower nefesh, and he has to overcome them. He has to subdue them. He has to break his bad midos. That's the Ratzon of Hashem. That's the ultimate Avodas Hashem. That's the challenge. A man might have, as a result of his nefesh fela, atzlus, atzvus, gaiva, taiva, he has all these bad midos because of his nefesh fela, and now he has to overcome them, and he has to break his midos. And in the balance of this article, the Ezer Kenego philosophy of marriage is that she has to teach him and guide him how to break his midos. And that's what the framework of marriage is all about. So we'll take a break now, because I think it's probably, what time is it time for Meirev? He quotes from Chaim Vital, who asks the question in the name of his Rebbe, the Arizal, that why don't we find anywhere amongst the mitzvahs of the Torah that the Torah tells us, tikkun amidos, that this is our avoda, main avoda. And the answer the Arigal gave is that tikkun amidos is the shoresh, it's the root, it's the hachana, it's the prerequisite for all the kiyum of any mitzvahs, of all the mitzvahs. And therefore it's not included in the mitzvahs because it's so fundamental, like the Bahag says about Amunah. And a person, because of his, a human being, because of his hybrid nature, where he has both these elements of Nefesh Sichlis and at the same time Nefesh Bahamas, one pulling him up and one pulling him down, he needs to face this challenge constantly of Shmiras Hamidos and to improve his Midos. And it's very interesting that Rabbi Elimelech of Lezhinsk writes that Ha'odam lo nivra ba'olam rak l'shaber sateva v'yizaris es atzmo l'taki midosov b'shnas yudches. When he reaches the age of 18, he should dedicate himself to Shviras Hamidos. Now, why at the age of 18? Why does Rabbi Elimelech of Lezhinsk focus on the year 18? Now, put that question on the side for a moment. There's Tikkun HaMidos, as we said. That's what stands and is on the highest level on the whole list of man's challenges in his Avodas Hashem. Now, within the framework of marriage, Tikkun HaMidos becomes absolutely critical. Why? Because the parents are in charge of teaching their children, of educating their children. And without good midos, there's no possibility of their successfully raising their children to Torah midos. And therefore, if the parents don't dedicate themselves for being tikkun, to be mitakin their own midos roles, their own nefesh feilu, then they won't have any success in raising their children and being mechanic their children to be good, upstanding servants of Hashem. Is now we can begin to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a woman for a man who's Ezer Kenegdo, she has Tchunos Menugados Labaleha, and she's the antithesis. And the purpose of this is because both the man and the woman, each representing two opposite Midos, have to be Mizgaber on this Nigura Midos. They have to find the Derech, the Shvil Azov, the golden path to peace, to Shalom Bayis, and overcome the Nigura Midos. And each one of them has to be Mavater to the other one. They become now a living example for their children. And their children will also dedicate themselves to Shviras HaMidos, to develop the right Midos. Now, why the age 18? Because the Mishnah says at the end of Ovid, says Ben Shmonasre L'chupa. The ultimate purpose of Nisuin is to have children and be Mechanich them in the Derech HaTorah. And therefore, says Rabbi Elimelech Milizhinsk, that Yizaris is atzul taki midosov b'shana yudches. In other words, if he wants to go into chuppah, he's got to first be metakin his midos, and then he can go into a marriage, raise children, guide them in the right way. They, the children, will follow the dugma, the example of their parents. The parents are a living example of tikkun midos, and all this is a result of that thesis and antithesis, which marriage is all about in its essence, the SLO, Ezer Kenegdo philosophy. Okay, Rabbi said there's a lot more here, but we'll stop here, and in Mirz Hashem, we'll be able to pick this up at some other time.